Okay, boys, good morning. Okay, can you think of anybody we could pray for this morning?
Edgar in Guatemala.
Edgar, okay. All right, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Lord, we just pray for Edgar. We just pray that your will be done in his life. And pray for all those around the world who are suffering and need your help, God. Lord, help us to just hear your voice. And help us to walk in a way that pleases you. Just be with us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Fill us with your Spirit. And just help us. Help us, God. And have mercy on us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's do Matthew chapter 5. Hey, this is, in my opinion, three of the greatest chapters of any book in the whole wide world. Some of the best information that we have. In all the world, this is where we have instructions given to mankind from God on how to live our lives, and so some of the best stuff here. And trying to figure out what kind of person we ought to be. This is it. Okay. So, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I think there's lots of different ideas on what poor in spirit means, and I'm not 100% sure what it means, but I think it might mean, or one of the meanings of it, is a person that is poor in spirit is maybe somebody that's very sad. Okay, they've been through a lot, life has just beat them up. And their spirit is low. They are poor in spirit. There's people all around the world that may not even have hardly enough food to eat or water. There's children around the world who have been abandoned by their parents. There's all sorts of things, all sorts of people facing lots of hard struggles. And sometimes it can make somebody sad, you know, going through hard times like that. And I think of that whenever I read poor in spirit, because God knows everybody's going through a hard time, you know, and he understands. And for whatever reason, he's letting them go through it. And we don't understand all that stuff, and we don't have to, but hopefully we can just keep trusting in God even though things are going hard. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I guess that would be sort of sad too, you know, like somebody passes away and, you know, you're mourning for them or for something else. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek, usually we pretty much think it means humble, not proud. Often you hear people say meekness is not weakness. It doesn't mean you're a ball of mush, but that you're humble, and you kind of know your position with God, and you live your life that way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I think it's good if there's a person who is hungry for what is right, hungry for what is good, and that's the way God wants us to be, is not hungry for things that may be selfish, but hungry to see goodness, hungry to see good, and maybe so hungry to see good that we live in a good way. A lot of times we're wanting somebody else to be good. We're looking at somebody else and wondering why they're not doing what they should do. And when we could just focus on ourselves a little bit, and we could do the good that we wish others would do. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, so God is telling us that He wants us to show mercy. We're just to show mercy, to have compassion on other people. When people are going through a hard time, or people are just not living up to whatever expectation, that we have compassion on a person. We can walk in truth and still be compassionate. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, so God is just saying that all throughout history, that good, a man who is good, is going to be faced with some unfair circumstances. Even persecution. People may, want to kill him, like Daniel, who wouldn't, worship, the idol or whatever. And, the other religious men or wise men in that time, they wanted to kill Daniel. Maybe they were jealous or whatever it was. But here was a man who was living right, and people wanted to kill him, And that kind of shows us and tells us what kind of world we live in. Something's wrong with this world. There's a sin problem, but God is saying that this is normal, and don't give up. Keep doing what's right, even if nobody understands, and even if nobody, even if you're being persecuted, or people are making up accusations against you which aren't true, still do what's right. Let's see. They did the same thing to Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, so we know there's a problem with the world. There's sin all in the world. There's darkness all in the world. Bad things are happening. But God is saying, you be the salt. You be the light in this world. Live your life. You do nice things for people, for your neighbors. Sometimes we have neighbors who are old, or they're poor, or whatever. We run into people that have needs. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light. God's saying, don't put that underneath a basket. Don't hide it. Let your light shine. Go and help people and do good. So that way they will glorify God. So God's saying, don't just sit in your life. Don't just worry about yourself. Get out there and help people. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Okay, so let's see, I'll keep reading. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. Okay, you know, so Jesus is saying, you've heard that it was said, you shall not murder. Okay, everybody knows that. All right, but he's saying, you know, almost like he's saying, if you are against your brother, you know, or if you are, you know, you can, maybe it's the same spirit, you have the same spirit of murder when you treat someone, you know, in this way. If you hate someone without a cause, you know, or if you're angry with someone without a cause, you know, you're just being cruel, you know, maybe that's the same spirit of murder in your heart. And, you know, and whoever says, you know, to his brother, you know, Raca, or, you know, I think that means like something like you good for nothing or something like that, or you fool, you know, when you, maybe if you have contempt for your brother, when you're just being mean and cruel to your brother, you've basically got something in your heart that might be just as bad as murder. Okay? So Jesus is, it's like he's saying that there's it's not just what we do, but it's what we are inside that makes us guilty or makes us innocent before God. Agree with your adversary quickly, you know, while you're on the way with him. A lot of times we get into arguments because we want what's right for us. And we're so focused on getting what's right for us that, you know, we'll go all the way down the road with an argument, you know, and when we were wrong in the first place, you know, and Jesus says, agree with your adversary quickly. You know, make friends, you know, with your adversary, and just bury, you know, bury the hatchet or whatever, or be at peace with your brother, you know, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that for one of your parts of your body to perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your body parts perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. You know, a couple things. Jesus is saying sin leads to death. He's saying this is important. This is serious. How we live our lives is going to have a consequence. And sin leads to death. And he's saying that you've got to do whatever it takes to get away from that sin. You know? I don't believe he's literally saying, you know, poke your eye out, you know, or cut your hand off, you know, but do what it takes to get you away from the sin, because it's serious and it could take you down into hell. Furthermore, it's been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So, basically, you know, in life, just be honest. Be truthful. Tell the truth. Just go around, you know, mom and dad ask you a question. You know, did you do this? You know, yes, I did it. Or no, I didn't. You know, it's just, don't be deceitful. Just tell the truth, you know, and go through life like that. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This is pretty great. This is what separates us, or separates a Christian from the world. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. You know, there's something bigger than our own rights that we're living for. Whoever compels you to go, okay, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus is saying, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. Okay, Jesus is saying, I mean, I think that this is the highest teaching, in my opinion, on the whole planet. Other religions included, they don't have this teaching, as far as I know, that we are to love our enemies. We are to do good to those who hate us. He says, do good to those who hate you. Okay? Jesus is saying, do good to even those who are wanting to hurt you. Okay? He's saying to love. He's saying to extend love to everybody on the planet, even those who hate you. And he's saying, and this is what will make you a son of the Father. This is what will make you a child of God is if you show love to even your enemies. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And, I think, I really don't know for sure, but I think the perfect part, be perfect. We're striving to live this way. We're striving to live the way that God wants us to. And that means loving our enemies. And loving our brothers and sisters, being honest with our parents, and just doing what's right, and not looking down our noses at anybody, and because then we've messed it all up if we've done that. So, okay, you guys can do your assignments.
We were supposed to get an example in our life of when we're tempted to do something and we either did it or resisted the temptation. And I was tempted to leave the wood box get empty, but I filled it.
One time I was tempted to go up from the shop and do something else, but instead I stayed in the shop and helped my dad. And Daddy said that we should redo Floyd's assignment, so he said that I should practice looking at elders in their faces when they talk to me.
I was tempted to play, but I did my chores instead.
This week we were working to hang the door, and I was working down on the ground, and one of my brothers was up on the lift, and they dropped something on the lift. It made this noise, and I got scared. I'm like, whoa. And they're like, oh, and they didn't think it was a big deal. And I got tempted to get a little, this is a little bit dangerous. But I thought of the voice lesson, and so I tried to contain myself. And probably should have left it go sooner, but anyway.
I'm tempted to, when I'm talking about someone, to kind of put them down and build myself up, but I should just talk about them how I want them to talk about me.
Recently at work, I've been tempted to get upset with my brothers, and a few times I kind of gave in a little, but this week I thought about the assignment and how it we're supposed to do the assignment so it makes us better, and I tried to do better this week.
One time, not long after we went to Mexico, I remember across the road from our house was a place that had a big pile of sand there, and we weren't allowed to go over there and play in the sand, but one time I got tempted and just went over there anyway, and so I got disciplined for that. And then last Sunday, Daddy told us to do the assignment from the week before, and so I asked him, and he said that I should work on when something comes up against me to just to take a deep breath and not just right away justify myself.
This week, I was working, and one of my siblings, or several of my sisters, kept taking my things I was using, and I was tempted to get mad at them, but then I just decided to just take it calmly and just be more gentle with them.
For Floyd's assignment, my dad told me to not justify myself when somebody shows me something that I did wrong, because the first step in making it right is realizing that you did something wrong. And then One time when we lived at the first house here in Mona, we had a cornfield around our place, and we weren't allowed to play in it, but then somebody came over, and so we just played in it, and we got disciplined for that.
I'm sometimes tempted to do things that make me look better than other people or think of myself better than other people, but I just gotta be careful and resist, and being proud isn't gonna get me anywhere in life.
Years ago, when we lived in a tall apartment in Mexico, there up on the top of it there was a ladder that went even higher up to this big water reservoir up there, and we weren't allowed to climb up there because there was no sides on it and stuff. It just went straight down. And I remember no one was around, so I climbed up halfway, and I was really tempted to go up the whole way, but then I turned around and I came back down. And then for the other assignment, I asked my dad this week, and he said that need to take a deep breath, like Maury's thing was before, justifying ourselves, and just take it.
Yesterday, me and my brother was moving some kids and didn't go quite right, and I got mad and I said some things that I shouldn't have, but I said some things that I shouldn't have, but I repented of it.
For me, I get tempted a lot, just do a lot of things that my parents shouldn't or wouldn't want me to be doing. Just to have a lot of influence around the house. I hang out a lot. And, when we were growing up, like our cousins would do something that necessarily wasn't just a bad thing, but our parents wouldn't really like us doing it. And we'd generally go and do it, but we'd always get punished for it. And you just need to take a little bit more time, or just take a deep breath and just think about what our decisions are, and not just jump in and go with it, go with the flow. Just stand up and be a man about it.
I struggle a lot with a particular thing, and it's when I don't perform or do so well, like maybe I have the wrong attitude about a job I'm doing or something like that. I will, after the job is done, I'll carry this remorse with me and just kick myself, and I'll just go into this gloom, and I realized that, you know, just thinking about that, that it's easier to kick yourself and be in a pity party than to just brighten up and man up and just, you know, put your hand in the plow. And I struggled with that a lot this week, and it's a reoccurring thing. But there's times when I'm just like, nope, I'm not going to do that. And it just keeps coming back and coming back, but I persist. And I try to thank God for something, or sing a hymn, or just think about the job I'm doing and work on it. It's something constructive. And like I said, there's times that I really fail, and it just eats at me, and I end up losing out. But then I always realize that that's not helping me. And I'm working on getting better at overcoming that, so...
For the assignment next week, how about just pick a teaching of Jesus out of chapter 5, maybe one that is something that you probably should be working on, maybe the one that most describes what you should be working on, maybe.